Have you ever been asked to intervene on behalf of someone else? Pastor or whoever you are, can you please speak to my husband? Can you please speak to my wife? Can you please speak to my son? Can you please speak to my daughter? Can you please speak to the pastor? Tell him whatever it is on your heart or mind. Sometimes that's warranted, right? Life is filled with triangles. The objective is not to get triangulated, right? Not to get tangled in the emotions that are going on between two people. Sometimes we have to do that, but for the most part, if we get involved in the emotional tension between two people, then the focus of anxiety shifts from those two people to us. So not getting triangulated is very important. And Jesus is not going to get triangulated in the story that we have this morning. In the story, a man goes up to Jesus and asks him, you know, could you go talk to my brother to divide the inheritance that is between us? And Jesus responds, now who made me judge, mediator, or arbitrator between you and your brother? And then he tells them this parable. And he prefaces this parable by telling folks to be careful of greed. So a man who's a farmer has a bumper crop and his storage units are not sufficient to store all of the grain. So he builds bigger ones, and what happens is that this man says, you know, I don't have to work anymore. I don't have to work anymore. What I'll do is store all of my goods, eat, drink, and be merry, and not worry about anything anymore. And that night, God shows up to this man and says, you fool! You fool! Tonight, your life is going to be claimed, and where will your goods be? Beware of people, or beware of being rich towards things and being poor towards God. Now, at first blush, we might think that Jesus is talking against affluence or wealth, and he's not. Jesus is not talking about wealth, against wealth, and he's not talking against affluence. What he's talking about is not putting God first in all matters of life. And in this story, this rich fool is using his possessions to guarantee his life. And the anxiety that happens with this man is that he's trying to create for himself, insulate himself from the world so that he can eat, drink, and be merry and not have to worry about anything that's going on in his life. And so it is in our world. We insulate ourselves from worry and anxiety. We insulate ourselves from worry and anxiety by spending. One of the ways that we define ourselves is as consumers. I hate that. I hate being defined as a consumer. But we do consume, and we do like to spend. We do like to buy. And when we spend and we buy, and we create ourselves opportunities to have things in storage bins, in storage units, and in attics, and we create even more stuff. Denzel Washington says, you never see a U-Haul following a hearse, right? You never see a U-Haul following a hearse. So we collect our stuff. Thank God for Amazon Prime. that makes it so easy. Thank God for eBay. Oh my gosh, all that used good stuff, I gotta have it. Thank God for Black Friday and all the other days that we have designated to be special days for us to buy more and more stuff. Stuff that we think we need. Stuff that we think we gotta have. A way of dealing with our anxiety and worry in the world. Rich towards things, but poor towards God. Ernest Hemingway, I've read most of his writings, and he's not a good example of Christian discipleship, but there's one thing that Ernest Hemingway did was that his most prized possession of that year, as a way of communicating to himself that possessions don't possess him. I'd like for you to think about your five possessions in your mind that are most important to you. Not relationships, of course. Could you give those away? Does the thought of even giving those possessions away raise any anxiety within you? Oh, I can't get rid of that. Another way that we deal with our worry and anxiety is through security. Man, you know, we got to keep ourselves safe, you know? Nothing like a concealed carry license or an open carry license, right? Got to have an alarm system, got to have this, got to have that. You know, we have the best alarm and security system here in Mason, First UMC Mason, you know, and of any church here in Mason, Texas. And I'll even throw Fredericksburg in that match. You know, we've got a great, great security system. But unless God is a part of that conversation, then we're just creating security for our own anxiety. God has to be a part of everything that we do. For we worship a jealous God, as the scriptures teach us. And one of the ways that I like to understand God being jealous, because I don't think of jealousy as being a virtue, but when I think of God being zealous, when I think of God desiring to be first in our lives, I understand that. God has given us life, and God has given us blessing, and God wants us to put that first in our life. The third way that we deal with our anxiety and our worry is that we place higher goals and expectations on ourselves and others. I believe in goals. I believe in measurable goals and expectations. I don't think there's anything wrong with having a driven disposition to be able to accomplish things. And the world thrives on people who have goals and meet these goals. But what happens is that when we meet these goals, what do? We put more goals upon ourselves. I worry sometimes about how we put so much on our children and our youth. You know, got to do more, got to have more, got to be more. Be all you possibly can be by doing all these multitude of things that are so important. And they are important. What about that downtime that our kids need to have? What about that time that our children should reflect upon how God can be a part of that conversation as to our priorities and our goals and expectations? Because God needs to be a part of that conversation, as God needs to be a part of the conversation regarding our security and our possessions. God comes first in all matters of life. Well, there are three proven ways to deal with worry and anxiety. Three proven ways. One proven way is to breathe. And I'd like for you to take a deep breath of common sense. Fill your lungs up. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 says that when God created us, that God breathed into us the breath of life. You know, the world will take our breath away. But it is God who breathes into us the breath of life. And taking a deep breath in the morning, mid-morning, noon, afternoon, late afternoon, early evening, at night is so important. A pausing, stepping back from the world, and filling our lungs with the breath of life, and giving God thanks. Second way that we can deal with worry and anxiety is to do what Friedrich Buechner, the Christian writer Friedrich Buechner, teaches us, that we are to match our joy with the world's hunger, all right? To use our gifts and our graces and our resources and our power to deal with the world's deficits and problems. One of the things that I remember, first time I remember about First United Methodist Church Mason doing that was after Hurricane Harvey. And after Hurricane Harvey, Colleen Haley, Pastor Colleen Haley, told a group of pastors about lifting up the church, the community that was affected by Hurricane Harvey, is that you dedicated one whole Sunday's offering towards Hurricane Harvey, and y'all raised $12,000 for that. Congratulations. And I was in Laredo. There was a gentleman by the name of Merville Moore and his wife Parthena, and Parthena and Merville grew up humble, and what happened was that they moved to Laredo, and they became business people. And sooner or later, they began buying gasoline stations and Firestones and hotels, and they became extremely wealthy. And Merville and Parthena didn't have any children. So what they did is they contacted the counselors at the high schools there in Laredo, and they adopted children, and they began to send those kids who had proven themselves to be worthy of going to college and to technology schools and didn't have the means to do so, and they sent them to college and they sent them to those schools. Have a good friend by the name of Travis. Travis went to Iraq, and he was on top of one of those vehicles that they have. And so he was manning a machine gun when a roadside bomb exploded and took his left leg and his left arm off. And when Travis came back home, I said, "Travis, let's go hunting." And he said, "Peter, I can't do that. I've seen too much carnage. I can't go hunting. And besides, I'm afraid to squeeze the trigger. And I told Travis, I said, "Travis, I got a ranch where you can go, and I'm not afraid of your PTSD, and let's go, you know." And I took Travis, and he was able to harvest an animal, and he was able to recover and heal in part of the devastation of his life as a soldier. The way that we can deal with our anxiety, the way that we can deal with our worry, is not by creating more worry and anxiety and watching all the news television shows telling us to be on crime watch because it'll empower us. That's a lie. Don't listen to that demon. But to go out into the world and let your strength and your power and your joy match the world's hunger and need in Mason, Texas. Breathe. Give. And the third one is to give thanks. You know, with the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11 lunar landing, there's all kinds of stories that are still coming out, and I've recorded these stories on the History Channel and other channels because I think it's just great stories. I love hearing the stories of courage and bravery and of those three astronauts. Here are some more stories that the NASA was going to put the UN flag on the moon until it went to Congress, and Congress said, no way, we're putting the American flag on there, right? And which is kind of interesting, you know, it's kind of interesting. I wonder if we still let do that today, right? But it was just kind of interesting. Second thing was that NASA was, besides the United States military, is the largest contractor of subcontractors of the United States government. They hire all kinds of subcontractors to do work. And so they hired Playtex to create a spacesuit, right? They hired Playtex to create a spacesuit. And so Playtex went out there and they tested this suit for all kinds of conditions. And so when they launched the Apollo 11 out into space and they landed on the moon, they invited two Playtex engineers to be there in mission control so that they could observe if anything, you know, if anything were to happen. So when Buzz Aldrin got out of the space capsule and started jumping up and down, because you're, you know, 16 pounds, it's 16th of the gravity is 16% of the gravity on Earth. So for every 100 pounds, it's 16 pounds. So Buzz Aldrin was jumping up and down, and the Playtex engineer's eyes just got big, and they had an anxiety attack, and they said, you know, we didn't test for that. You know, well, how could you, right? How could you? But it's just the way they told that story was just beautiful. My favorite story comes from Buzz Aldrin. And you might have heard this story. Buzz Aldrin is a Presbyterian. And before going into space, he asked his pastor to consecrate the elements, the Eucharist, of bread and wine. And what NASA did is they put him in little plastic containers with lids on them, and he took a chalice with him, and he went up into space, and before leaving the capsule to get on the moon, he poured the wine into the chalice, and the imagery of the liquid, you know, kind of floating a little bit around the inside of that cup and floating up, and he was able to capture all that, and he ate the bread, and he drank from the cup, and the first meal to be celebrated on the moon was the Eucharist. The bread and the wine. And he took those elements, and he ate and he drank before stepping out of that capsule. The word Eucharist in Greek means thanksgiving. And so we, as disciples of Jesus Christ, are invited to give thanks in all things. Not for all things, but in all things. Taking a lung full of breath of air, exhaling several times a day and giving God thanks, and using the wealth of our resources, our joys, whatever they are, our power, whatever it is, the world's greatest need, whatever that is in our life, is what we as disciples of Jesus Christ are invited to do.